You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last night, Materia Ture admitted to intentionally enrolling in the wrong electorate back in 1993. This morning, I talked to Otago law lecturer Andrew Geddes on the matter and asked him to explain the situation.
Through Ture's own words, we can be pretty certain she falsely enrolled at an address she was not permitted to. Making such false enrolment applications is an offence under electoral law. Technically, it's punishable by up to 3 months of imprisonment. However, such prosecutions just don't really happen unless there's some deliberate effort to commit electoral fraud and actually affect the result in the election. These get dealt with by essentially a wag of the finger and a don't do it again type of message. So yes, she has technically broken the law by what she did, but then again, she was a 23-year-old doing this some 24 years ago, and on the list of stupid things 23-year-olds can do, this probably ranks pretty low on the pecking order.
There's a lot of commentary at the minute saying that she should resign. Do you think this is grounds for that?
Well, I mean, that's a political judgment as to whether her behaviour builds on a narrative that at the time in her early 20s she saw herself as a little bit above the law. It's tied into the fact she's admitted that she broke the law in order to get more benefit than she was entitled to under the quite harsh regime in place at the time, but she defended that law breaking on the basis it was necessary for her child, that she had to do this in order to feed her child. The problem with this particular issue is that it appears she did it simply as a joke so that she could cast a vote for her best friend who was in the McGillicuddy Serious Party, which was a joke political party. You know, whether that reason for offending cuts the same sort of moral justification, it's just a little bit more difficult to agree with.
Politically, do you think this is going to affect the Greens and Labour and that relation that's going on?
The Labour Party, with Jacinda Ardern now in charge, has made it pretty clear that they're not really interested in talking about the Greens or what the Greens are doing. They're going to focus entirely on Labour and what Labour's up to. I don't think they're going to be supportive of Ture on this. They'll say, you know, she's made her bed, now she has to lie in it and she has to defend what she's doing. It won't hurt their post-election relationship in any way. You know, if they still need each other, they'll go into government together. But I think it probably will strengthen Labour's narrative that they are now the major opposition party, they're the fresh new approach, and anyone who's feeling a little uncertain about, you know, Turia and her past behaviour may be even more uncertain now and, you know, look to Labour again.
So you think that it will definitely strengthen Labour's polls?
Well, the narrative we've got at the moment is Labour has got this fresh new person, an attractive, you know, new kind of face, where Turia is having to explain away youthful indiscretions that, you know, with the benefit of hindsight, 20-odd years later on, just, you know, look a little bit silly and a little bit childish. So, yeah, Labour definitely looks better.
I mean, this is something that's happened 25 years ago. Do you think those kinds of actions should really be something that we make a judgment on?
I mean, the problem is that Materia Ture, by raising her past as a beneficiary, has cast a light on her past, and so these sort of issues will come out. Having said that, it does prove what Turia's point is, which is that people who are on a benefit have their lives scrutinised much, much more harshly than others. And the only reason that we're talking about this, the only reason we're looking at this is because, you know, as a beneficiary, we feel we can judge and we can pry into people's lives that we just simply wouldn't with anyone else. And that, to me, personally, I find a little bit icky. Almost by doing this, we're proving Materia Ture's point.
I don't have too many more questions on it, but is there any further comment you want to make?
Well, I'm not sure if I've already said this, but a bit. If someone was found to have done this today, you know, let's say some student's best mate is running in Epsom or whatever, and so they enroll in Epsom at their mate's address so they can vote for them, and that was discovered, what would happen is when the Electoral Commission found out about it, the first thing they may do is simply say, you know, that was silly, get yourself on the right roll. Or if they did give it over to the police to look at, the most the police would do is go around and sort of shake a finger and say, hey, look, just don't do this, and, you know, get on the right roll. This wouldn't be a prosecution. So we do need to put this in a little bit of perspective. It's not like, you know, she got away with something that anyone else would be hammered for. It just, if this was done, it just wouldn't be brought before court at all. So it's silly. People shouldn't do it. It does threaten the kind of integrity of our electoral rules, which are important things. But, you know, a little bit of perspective on just how serious this is probably is necessary.
I then talked to political commentator and politics lecturer at Massey University, Grant Duncan, who discussed the political consequences with me. I asked him what his initial impression on the matter was.
I had a number of reactions, I guess, when I heard about it. Well, first of all, it is an offence under the Electoral Act to give false information about your address or your place of residence. And I guess the other problem with it is that it's starting to sound like she's drip-feeding us information about things she's done wrong, rather than having told the public everything up front in one go. So this complicates matters, and it makes me wonder, and I dare say others wonder too, as to whether there are more revelations to come. So that's the other question that entered my mind. Her explanation for the misinformation about her address is in relation to her the father of her child, and using his address so that she could vote in the Mount Albert electorate. And she, I think I heard her say on radio this morning that, you know, I realised this was a kind of goofy thing to do, or a dorky thing to do, or something like this. I can't remember her exact words. So she's almost sounded apologetic about it. You know, it was just a stupid thing I did once. And yeah, you know, people do stupid things when they're young and that they later regret. And this is not, you know, the worst offence that a person could commit by any means. You know, a new set of revelations about her past is not helping her political credibility at the moment, put it that way.
Do you think that we should be making judgments based on someone's actions from 25 years ago, though?
Well, we can and we do. People have. That's the fact. It's not a question of whether we should. The fact is that people do. And people have made judgments for and against Materia. So positive or negative judgments, pretty much everyone seems to have an opinion. So therefore, you know, people make judgments. Mm. Now, if you ask me for my personal judgment, I tend to be a bit forgiving of people's youthful mistakes, you know. But on the other hand, you know, a lie is a lie, particularly when you're lying to a government agency in a matter that's, you know, overseen by the law. And so the consequences are the consequences. And I don't know what the situation is in terms of, I understand anyway that Materia is having discussions with Work and Income about what it all means, and we'll see what rolls out from there. But she has to wear the consequences now, and I think she said that she's prepared to, so fine. But should we make judgments? Yeah, why not? Go ahead and make judgments. You can't, you know what I mean? It's what politics is about. It is about making a judgment about, you know, who and what we think is worth voting for. Mm. Yeah.
So there are also quite a bit of public responses. They're calling for her to resign. Do you think that's a move that will be made on her part?
Wouldn't want to make a prediction about that, but yeah, well, that could be a consequence, obviously, that she may end up resigning. Wait and see. I mean, that's a political question because at the moment, anyway, there's no reason for her to resign from Parliament at the moment. And so she stays on as an MP and she's a member of the Green Party. But, yeah, what happens from here, I really can't predict. As I say, it's not for me to say what she should do. I know that a lot of people, I think Mike Hosking is, but as he would, jumping up and down saying she should resign. I mean, not that I particularly follow his opinion, but I just saw the headline. Hosking says Materia must resign, but resign from what?
Yeah,
because there's a number of possible resignations. And he doesn't, as far as I can see, just scanning through, he doesn't specify, which is actually very poor on his part, but because, as I say, there's the question of resigning from leadership of the, or co-leadership, shared co-leadership of the Green Party. Another question is resigning from the party, but remaining as an MP until, the end of this term. Rather like Todd Barclay, you know, is still staying on until the election. Or resigning from Parliament altogether. And then, of course, there's the possibility that she might ask to have her name removed from the party list for the coming election or something like that. And then, obviously, everyone below who would shift up one, and the Greens would be left with the problem of finding another co-leader. All of that is unclear. So I don't know what choices she'll make.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.